Some people can pull
No,
off the
he's not.
$5,000 handbag, not Julian. So they're made for each other.
Yeah, exactly. That was the other thing. So I had somebody send me a picture of Julian driving through Austin.
Wait,
Wait,
that
hold on,
was
hold on.
actually hit. I thought that was a joke. That's actually
That was
his
dead
car with the
serious. That
license plate.
Andiamo?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
someone
did.
sent that
He
to
does
me.
have that. I'm starting to like Julian more and more.
Give
I
it to
want to
me.
go back to the what you just said about I had somebody from Austin take pictures of Julian.
Yeah.
What? Wait, like you calling in your
I knew it
paparazzi
glossed
buddies or
over it. You got
what?
people
Yeah,
in the
they're
airport,
everywhere.
people around Austin. You
Again,
got
one of my
people are
paparazzis.
everywhere. Nobody's safe. Nobody is
Damn.
safe.
All right, we just had Jimmy Miller on. Good episode. We'll get into that in a second. It's definitely an episode for the pickleball junkies, the people who like the very intricate details. Not a lot of instructional stuff, not a lot of other topics. We're just talking the nitty-gritty of the merger, pro player contracts, and all that good stuff. But one thing I wanted to bring up, so we are hiring for a social media manager. And basically, we want that social media manager to come from our audience, somebody who watches podcasts, lives and breathes pickleball, knows their way around social media content, graphic design, putting together social clips, and somebody who just wants to be like on the front lines, being the first to news, and being the liaison between the Dink brand and our audience across our different channels. So we want somebody who loves pickleball and, if that sounds like you, reach out to the Dink at hey the Dink team at heydink.com, and we'll try and set something up. And then the other thing is, we're looking for somebody to help us create social clips for this podcast. So you see them all the time. You go to our Instagram, but short form video that we can use across Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube Shorts, Facebook. And, doing like 3 to 5 clips per week per episode. And we can do that on a part-time basis. So if you like the show and you like creating content, hit us up. Again, it's the Dink team at heydink.com. Let's get into the episode. Yeah, cut that one out of the recording, Jamie.
It's not what the lead-in's gonna be. Is that what we're starting with?
We can start with everybody wondering what we were just laughing at and what Zane just said. It's very inappropriate.
It was borderline cancelable, to be honest.
We've got
But if there's anybody that knows about that, it's got to be our guest today.
the lead ambassador for Big Pickle,
He was.
Jimmy
He
Miller.
used to be a very, very controversial figure. Now he's just a Big Pickle has got to him. So let's see what he's got for us today.
Just trying to get paid,
Yeah,
you know?
we
Just
gotta
trying to
make
get
money out
paid.
here. It's tough in these streets.
Yeah, it is.
Canceling
It's hard knock life.
mortgages right now, not in this economy. You got to find other ways.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Jimmy, you kind of like burst onto the pickleball scene, what, probably last summer when you started King of the Court? When
Yeah.
did that officially launch?
Yeah, I think our first podcast was end of May 2023. So Tyler just called me one day and said, "Hey, Jilly B." So honestly, it started. We owe Jilly B because he called me and he said, "Hey, Jilly B just like ripped me on Instagram for being a bad partner and rolling my eyes, and I want to go back at her." And he's like, "Do you want to come on a podcast?" I was like, "Sure."
And that's the birth
And that's the
out of a
birth of
grudge.
King of the Court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you, so I've heard a little bit, but you were pretty in the know in pickleball before starting the podcast. But since then, you're on, it seems like a first name basis with every single team owner, everybody in pickleball. Take us through how you sort of went from a sort
Yeah.
of an outsider to the Jimmy Miller you are today.
Yeah. I think originally I was more of like a fan, and so I watched a lot of pickleball, which, I wouldn't say I was really in the know, but I watched a lot of pickleball. And we do have a lot of pros that live in Utah. I mean, obviously Tyler, Callie, Megan Dazon, Etta, Spencer Stone. I mean, we have a big list. And so I was friends with all of those guys. But once this happened, I kind of made a comment on the podcast about becoming a GM. And Richie Twazen reached out for the Black Bears. You know Richie well,
Oh yeah,
obviously.
Richie's a goat.
And he reached out, and he was friends with the Pickler guys, because Richie was, you know, he's an investor in the Pickler. And so through them, he kind of reached out to me and he was like, hey, are you interested in maybe becoming a GM? And I guess Tim Parks had actually seen our podcast. And Tim was like, hey, Richie, this might be a total disaster, but this guy's pretty funny and he knows his shit. So I think you should do it. And so Richie reached out and yeah, we just kind of got to talking and he's like, let's just have you come on as an assistant GM and see what happens. And then kind of from there, started to meet more people. I think maybe gained a little trust and I don't even know what happened after that. It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, I always...
All I know is my phone does not stop ringing.
I always... Yeah, that's got to be cool. I always think about like, imagine that, but put it in like the NBA or the NFL. Imagine being like, you know,
sure,
the Woj of one of those bigger sports and how...
Yeah, Schefter, Woj, right? Chris Mortensen just died and it's like, right.
Because...
It would be unbelievable. Yeah.
And you've got to become that for...
I mean, Pickle's cool, but...
Are they your sort of your role models?
No, that's the thing is I never intended for any of that. Like, I literally never set out to be some insider. Like, I don't even feel like I am, but I never intended for that. It just kind of was like one of those things where just you just start talking to different people and it just kind of happens.
Might not have been your intent, but do you think there's anybody that has more insider information in pickleball at this point than you?
Well, I think you do because you won the vote. Most influential by an overwhelming margin.
That just means people actually listen to what he says.
Yeah. So
influential no, might be different from being in the know, though.
Okay, that's fair. I think there's people out there that do, you know, but maybe not from both sides, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, there's guys out there that obviously are very much in the know and they just keep it to themselves. But I think that I have a good relationship with during the tour wars, as we called it. You know, I think that you guys trademarked that.
Yeah, which is part of our
whatever. But there it is. That's your 35%.
He knows the statistics.
I think I had a good relationship with both sides.
He knows exactly who beat him out.
Insider information right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the goal for Jimmy in pickleball? Like you've built this podcast, you know everybody, you're part of the Black Bears for now. like what's the ultimate like goal?
I mean, honestly, I don't even have one. I didn't even set out to have a goal. It just has like been such a whirlwind the last 6 months that it just continues to like. Dude, I just love pickle. Like, I love pickleball. Zane. I didn't mean it like that.
I moved my lip like a quarter of an inch, and the dude knew no, I was. I've got a 12-year-old sense of humor.
Yeah.
I just love the sport, and I just want to see the sport grow. And you know, I like anything that I can do to be involved in it. It's fun for me. Like this is. I mean, you guys know. You guys are Zane. Obviously, you're a pro. Thomas, you tried to play pro once, but. You know, like you guys know, like it's fun. Like it's fun to be involved. The sport's growing. It's awesome to be, you know, part of that conversation. I don't really have a goal.
Got the podcast. You're the GM of a team. Do you have anything else that you're working on? Anything you have lined up?
So I did sign a deal with Vulcan. And so we actually have a bag line coming
really?
Out. So, yeah, that I'm actually designing.
It's pretty cool.
So congrats. That's kind of random, but
can we still shit on the Vulcan ball? I mean,
you can say whatever you want. I mean, keep it. The one thing with me is I'm still going to keep it 100. Like we got to be honest, right?
Fair.
And I think, you know, this weekend is going to be interesting on those foam floors with the Vulcan ball.
So, not to derail things, but I had heard a rumor and I figured you're at the center of all this and you would know better than anybody. Are they changing balls or changing formulas or whatever for the Minnesota tournament?
Recipe?
Yeah, so I don't know if it will be ready for Minnesota, but I know that they have like been working super hard to like get new resin manufacturer, new manufacturer in general, and they're trying to change it. And you know, because I think what they feel like happened and I shouldn't speak for Vulcan, so this is just, but the first batch of balls that were tested and were sent to PPA, because PPA did review those balls and approved them, were good. Like, I mean, I've had them since what September. Do you mean,
like, they said, yeah, the check cleared, and...
yeah. Yes. They said the check cleared, send us whatever you want. But they lasted a long time. They weren't going out around. And then what I think Vulcan feels like happened is that when they ordered in bulk and they ordered 800,000 balls, the quality, you know, may have suffered a little bit. Whether they will admit that or not, the quality suffered, and, you know, they were just trying to get them as many balls as they could. And maybe, you know, it looks like they've definitely have some issues they've got to fix.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, right? So, like, you do a test batch of, you know, one SKU, you like it, and then you tell this manufacturer, hey, here's the biggest order you've ever handled, assuming they aren't manufacturing for other companies.
Yeah.
They have to figure out how to efficiently scale that in a short time frame, and they're probably going to have to change some of their processes, and so the end product ends up being different.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've certainly seen that. I've yet to have a prototype paddle that ends up the exact same as the scaled version.
Right.
Right. It seems to happen all the time. So.
Yeah. And so I think that's kind of what happened. And Vulcan, let's be honest, they're not this is new for them, right? They're not a ball manufacturer. Obviously they got into it and they, you know, they still have responsibility to the pros and to the PPA tour, the amateurs, but I think they're trying to figure it out. And at least they're like, not just like, oh, well, check cleared, you know, and they're just sitting on it. Like, people will get used to it. They are trying to make changes. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a minute, but I know that last I heard that they were trying to get like a new resin manufacturer and make some changes to the ball. So
yeah, no, I crap on them, but like, it's, I understand where they're coming from. And like, honestly, it's not the biggest deal in the world if the ball was not 100% quality for a couple of months, right? We'll look back at this and not care. And if they figure it out and they make it better, this will all be very much overlooked when we're thankful that we're not playing for Duras. It will,
but like for you, right? Yeah, but for you, it's your livelihood, right? Like, you're playing singles and, you know, it's 9-9 and a ball doesn't come up on a, you know, on a serve, like, you should get pissed.
Yeah, but I do think there are certain things that affect both players equally, right? Like, something like that is, I always think about it, something like wind can be zero sum, where all you have to do is deal with the wind better than your opponent, and it's a win for you, right? So if you can deal with a crappy ball better than your opponent, that's a win for you. Like, obviously, it's not ideal, and we don't want points ending because of faulty balls. Like, that's obviously, that definitely has to get fixed. But in the interim, I think players just kind of need to deal with it that way. If I can deal with this 5% better than my opponent, or not let it bother me, that's a win for me.
Yeah. Or you can go the Matt Riot version, and you can switch out your ball 12 different times in one match.
Every point.
Which is what he did in
Mesa. So they're just not saying no to that then. You can just switch it out whenever.
Yeah. He literally would look at it and be like, that's out of round, and toss it and get a new one. 12.
Honestly,
yeah.
He's definitely doing what I did and just tossing those into his own bag so he doesn't have to then go buy them 100%. For $4.
I actually know for a fact that, like, Riley, which this does not surprise anybody because it's Riley Newman. I mean, this is the guy that takes 4 free sandwiches, you know, but Riley was taking balls and, like, from the refs and putting them in his bag.
Wait,
for sure. I don't,
he doesn't do that though.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, this is the guy that he also said, send me to Albuquerque and I'll feed balls to Susan for $1 million and wear my Rolex.
Okay. I just was listening to your podcast. I didn't get all the way through it, but I heard you say something to that effect. Can you expand on that? Because I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about with Riley Newman feeding balls to Susan wearing a Rolex.
Yeah, so we were told, allegedly, that Riley Newman decided not to take a cut.
Right.
So he said, I'm not taking any cut. He said, put me to work. If you want to send me to clinics, if you want to whatever.
This is when Major League Pickleball offered a handful of their, was it all of their players or reduced contracts, a reduced amount of days, reduced.
Yeah. Reduced days, reduced contract. Yeah, exactly. And Riley decided originally, I was told originally he said yes. And then after some talking with his agent, who may or may not be Jim Kloss, we don't know. Maybe Jim's just advising him. He decided not to take a cut. And he basically told whoever, well, I don't know if he's talking to MLP, PPA, but he basically just said, look, you know what? I'm not going to be top five in 3 years. There's new people coming into the game. So this is life-changing money. So send me to Albuquerque. I will feed Susan balls and I'll do it with a smile on my face and a Rolex on my wrist.
I like that. That's one way to put it.
Yeah. So the rumor that we were told is that Riley won't be playing PPAs anymore.
Right. But that's not confirmed. That's sort of just conjecture. And that's based on the fact that he's not willing to take that revised agreement.
It is. He can play PPAs is my understanding, but he has to pay his own entry fees and there's not a lot of prize money in it. And then based off those MLP contracts, he has to pay 80% of that prize money to MLP. And so it sounds like by his own, from some of the things he said, he's probably going to choose not to play that.
Talk about that for a second. He has to pay 80% of his prize money on the PPA tour to Major League Pickleball.
Yeah. So these contracts state that 80% of some of them, unless you have a carve out, that 80% of your prize money from other events has to be paid to MLP.
And that was the deal that was presented prior to the merger. You don't think that they're going to revise that aspect moving forward?
I mean, I hope they do for the players' sake. I think they owe the players a lot more than, you know, what they're giving them. I mean, I think that there's a reason that a lot of these players are going to play APPs right now. I mean, APP Sacramento's loaded.
Hey, let's
hasn't looked like that since Zane was playing.
Let's back this up a little bit because we said a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of these things can be broken down sort of one by one. And we did want to talk to Jimmy about a little bit of the overall background here, right? So real high level. Let's go very high level until we get to 2024. Okay. Right, because I think we want to establish a full picture for the people who are listening. MLP and PPA were set to merge until August of 2029, when MLP basically went rogue, started signing players. Tour Wars was on.
You just said 2029.
Yeah.
2020. Did I really?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Which is a wild.
2023.
You're looking way ahead.
Tour Wars is on, players are signing, MLP, PPA, they basically come to a merge, they announce a merge pretty quickly then. Merger is on shaky terms for pretty much all of 2023, but everybody seems confident that it's going to get done. Doesn't get done by the end of 2023. At the end of 2023... Or at the end of 2023, this is when players were starting to be asked to take reductions, whether from the PPA side or from the MLP side. Mm-hmm. And they were negotiating with the new company as if they had merged. So this is the conversation that we're having about Riley, where you said players were being asked to take a 40% cut and in exchange for a proportionate reduction in days.
Yeah,
I think that's more or less the summary for 2023. What was the sticking point with that 2023 deal, and how do you understand the difference between the 2023 terms of the merge and the new terms of the merge that were just accepted last week?
So I think one of the sticking points was right at the end of 2023, as you guys reported on this, is Knighthead Capital came in. Right. And they essentially said, we don't like the terms that Al Tylus and Jason Stein are offering, and we'll come in and we'll do it for less.
Knighthead Capital being the Las Vegas Night Owls, Tom Wagner. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom Wagner. Now his offer. He wasn't some white knight coming in and,
no pun intended,
you know, saving everybody. It was like 2% less. So, I mean, I think that that gets overstated. But what that did was that slowed everything down. Because now you have owners second-guessing things, right? You have, you know, PPA, I think, getting frustrated with MLP at this point because they thought they had a deal in place that was done and ready to go. And then it was almost like back to the drawing board, where now Tylus and Stein and Tom Wagner are negotiating with each other before they go back to PPA to negotiate back with PPA. So it really just slowed everything down. Because in the end, I don't think the terms really changed that much. They stayed very, very similar. So that was one of the issues. The other issue was, yeah, these player cuts, right? Like you're aware they were trying to cut all these players' contracts. And it seemed like PPA players weren't taking as big of cuts as MLP players. They weren't being asked to take as big of cuts. You know, a lot of the MLP players were refusing to take cuts. And I even heard some PPA players refuse to take, you know, because they did negotiate with some PPA. I know for a fact, like I was in the room when Tyler Loon got the phone call and took a cut. So maybe he's the only one, but, you know, it sucks for him. But so I think that that was part of it too, is, you know, they put a number, you know, nobody knows what that number was, but allegedly there was this arbitrary number that both sides had to hit for it to be feasible. And so that kind of slowed things up. But in the end, I actually think everything is very similar to those terms from August, you know, or when they first started talking. That's what's crazy. But when you get 30 millionaires and 10 billionaires in a room, and it almost became more on principle as opposed to financial. So, you know, that's what it felt like in the end. I don't think the money was an issue. I think it was more just the principle behind it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of these guys also look at, like, this is only a win if there's a massive outcome and we have a big stake in that. And,
yeah,
I mean, they all want the best terms for their own investment, and there's a lot of competing interests. And then there's, like, the second part of that, which is just, like, these guys are used to winning and being, and having success. And they're going to fight and try and create the most successful outcome for their interests. And there was a lot of conflict. And like the Knighthead deal, just people saying, no, I'm going to take the reins and we're going to move it in this direction because it's the best for me and my investment. And that constantly held up the deal. I mean, even at the end, there was competing philosophies as far as like whether a merger is the right path forward for Major League Pickleball, or if Major League Pickleball should say, screw it, we got to go at this by ourselves because that's how we create the biggest and most successful outcome. We need to compete with the PPA and be number one. We can't combine with them and play second fiddle or potentially, you know, I don't know, be at parity.
For sure. And there's fear, like there's legit fear from people that even people that aren't even involved in MLP, but they're involved in like paddle companies and other things that still think that Dundon is just going to fold the MLP at some point.
Right.
That he's got all the control and he's going to, you know, and he doesn't care about MLP. Even though they merged, he doesn't have that, you know, he doesn't believe
it. But the new co has like a 5-person board. So it's not like Dundon so now has there's enough protection control to where there, he can just rug pull whenever he wants.
Is the board still the same board that was announced back in September or whatever that was, which would be
Dundon, I think it's Tylus,
Stein,
Levine,
and a Steve Kuhn appointee.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
So it is still the same board.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that there were some dollar amount targets that needed to be made before this merge closed. And so I think that leads to something that I wanted to talk about, which was buyouts. I've been hearing about players getting bought out of their contract. Do you know is that happening from both sides?
Yeah, I believe the buyouts are coming from like the new co will be buying out these players. My understanding is there's about 28 players that have accepted buyouts. And the buyouts are essentially 75% of 1 year's salary or 1 year's is what the most of the buyouts are coming in at.
That's just an upfront payout right now.
Yep, upfront payout right now. So, you know, if you sign 3 years, $100,000, essentially you're going to get $75,000 right now and you're done. Now, the benefit of that, I mean, I see two sides. I'd be curious your take on this because Tyler and I kind of differ on this. But I think those players are just going to go play APPs because now you can get prize money. You know, you can go – because what I was told is that if you take a buyout, you can still play MLP, but there's no money. There'll be money in a mid-season tournament, prize money, and then a finals, but that's
it. I'd heard similar. So you can still participate in MLP or PPA, but there's very little financial incentive to yes. do so. They're banking on the fact that they're the individual tour and they're the team tour, and to a certain extent they're correct, right? Like a good MLP yeah. performance can really boost your stock. Thinking about like a Julian Arnold from last June and the beginning of last season, like that sort of skyrocketed his sponsorships. It probably led to the big deal that he got with the PPA, right? And just performing well in those high profile events is huge. Sponsors want you to be the spot where the most people are going to see you play. So I think they do have a point there where, like, I think people are still potentially going to want to play those even if there is no money, right? And that doesn't bode well for the players who do sign the contract, who do have a three-year. 3 years down the road, you're now competing against a certain amount of players that are willing to play these events for free just for the notoriety of it, right? So I think I'm cutting too far ahead, and I did want to ask you about it, but I can't imagine we're going to be ending up at the same payment amounts 3 years down the road.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And it's interesting because, the number of players who took buyouts who are willing to play and still want to play is pretty high.
Yeah. So do you know, like, are you going to name any names? Like, who do you know who has taken these buyouts? Are you able to say?
I mean, you can guess. I mean, it's not hard. It's pretty much all the people that I've heard is pretty much everybody that was playing APPs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was told that it was, you know, I don't want to like say it's all Hype Nation, but a lot of the Hype Nation, like those people that were playing APPs anyways, you know, that maybe had signed with MLP or PPA, but still had those APP carve outs. Those seem to be most of the players that I heard that took mm-hmm. buyouts. And so they'll probably continue to play APPs, and then you'll probably see them come play MLP, which is what the plan was for them anyways, because they had those carve outs. And now instead of being locked in to MLP, you know, they now have a nice chunk of money up front. And
No, I mean, it's not, the saying goes, it's like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? So it's still a lot of uncertainty with all of this stuff, like with payments. Do we know if that money has hit anybody's bank account yet?
So that's the thing. I don't know that. I don't even know I don't even think the merger's actually been funded yet. So I doubt it has at this point. I'm sure, you know, the plan is for it to hit, but when's the last time you've been paid, Zane?
It's been a minute.
So, I mean, I think it's been a while. Hopefully this is like the step in the right direction, but I do think about these buyouts also from a NewCo perspective. And you think, if I bought out 30 players who were going to make $3 million over the next, you know, 3 years, for instance, you buy them out for 75% of 1 year. So that means that you just saved yourself, what, $2.2 million? It's pretty significant.
Yeah.
You know, from their perspective as well.
So from what I understand on the buyout front, what was communicated to players who had not accepted a buyout or some sort of pay cut, basically what was presented was like, okay, well, you're still going to need to fulfill your 200 days in a shorter time frame, which would be like starting from March 1st to the end of the year. So you still have 200 days to sandwich into 275 days remaining in the year. And they can't guarantee some of those days where you might be at a facility, teaching a clinic, on site, just like running some event. They can't guarantee that those obligations wouldn't conflict with the tournament schedule. And so these players are faced with like, okay, so I don't take the buyout. I want to get paid, but I might have to spend 200 days, 8 hours a day teaching clinics and never actually competing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're essentially, your boss is now Johnny Pickleball. he is the one that's running these clinics, I guess.
So there is like this whole like clinic.
Yeah. So business. What I was told is that they're giving them like a home base, a home facility. And they will run clinics out of those facilities. They're sending them like kits, basically, to run these clinics. And the clinics are like Tuesday through Thursday from like 8 to 1 and from 5 to 9. And that's how they're going to get their days. And I mean, I haven't seen anybody actually run these clinics yet, right. But it sounds like it's tough because you want to, like, do you call that bluff or do you not call that bluff, you know? And I think that there's around 10 to 15 players who didn't take that cut. Riley, obviously, being one of them. And then there's some other, you know, I would say most of the ones are, there's some pretty significant names, but nothing that like would move the needle like Riley.
Yeah. They don't know like what state they could be in.
Yeah. That's well, the original, I don't know if you saw the original contract, but it said if anything within 400 miles,
480,
you're responsible to drive.
Really? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I saw that.
Can you expense the fuel and the gas station jerky?
That's the thing. Yeah. That was the original one. So, I mean, like for us in Utah, Las Vegas is about 360 miles. It's almost a 6 hour, 5.5 hour drive. So they can have you do clinics in Vegas and you just had to drive on down there. Like it's a day trip.
I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see what those 200 days actually end up look like. I think those initial drafts of it were very much just a, hey, take this. Otherwise, we are basically threatening to just screw you, right? Yeah, like 480 miles of driving, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day. Like that was more of a, I think that was a don't make us do this, right?
Yes,
I think everybody realizes that, but there are some people calling that bluff. And I think it truly, it is showing to be nothing more than a bluff at this point. I have to say it's.
But truthfully, I mean, if you have 15, say you have 10 players, 15 players that didn't take this cut. I mean, it's not bad to have 15 roving instructors, from like a PPA MLP perspective. To have them doing clinics and traveling around as opposed to, if you had to put 100 players to work, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, I remember having some of these conversations, like if you had 200 players that you had to put to work, like you'd be flooding the market with pickleball instruction. And with 10 to 15 of them, if you've got 10 of them, I don't see there's no reason why you can't make $2,500 in a day for some of these clinics, $25,000 for a day. And you've got 200 of those days, like, theoretically, they could be turning $5 million on those pros.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And those pros are still allowed to play MLPs. And that counts as some of your days. So if there's 6 to 9 MLP events, travel, it does say that travel counts. So you knock out 50 or so days there, at least they're still competing. But I do know, for example, I do know one player that did not take a cut and they said, I'll play MLPs, I'll teach my clinics, but I want to play APPs. And kind of what you guys said, they were told there's no promises they won't be scheduled over APP tournament days.
Which is quite the risk, especially given what we just said, right? 15, 10, between 10 and 15 of those players, it's actually very feasible to deploy them across the country and use up every single one of those days and actually put them to work. And now they can't compete at all. They're just a instructor. They just got converted to a full-time instructor, especially if you're not a big name, right?
Yeah, for sure. Hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see, like, when we start those advertising. Like, honestly, if someone like Tyson McGuffin, who already runs massive clinics and has a huge following, if he chose not to take a cut, he's obviously not on that list. But if he did, that would just make, I think if I was PPR or MLP, I would be more excited about that, because imagine the money you make off of his right. name.
Yeah, they get to run best in class in clinics around the country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that will be the case either way, right? They've got pros, actively touring pros, running the best clinics across the country.
Yeah, for sure. But what does that do, Zane? This is a good question for you. What does that do? So we'll just use Riley as an example, but if you're pro XR, how do you feel about Riley not playing PPAs?
I think, you know, you have to kind of take it on a case by case basis. Like, I'm sure there's going to be a conversation between Riley and Pro XR about this, right? Like, I'd assume everybody has a contract that says certain requirements, right? Maybe it doesn't list out tournaments specifically, but any of these contracts are basically based on the fact that somebody is a professional pickleball player, right? If I quit pickleball, my contract with Pro XR would be done. And so would everybody else's, right? That if they did the same thing. So I'm sure that this isn't a decision that Riley is making in a vacuum, right? I'm sure that there is going to be some conversation with Pro XR before he does something like that.
Yeah, but he's not going to not play the PPAs. And the PPA is, they're not just going to like make it a point because they want to make a point to not allow Riley to play in PPAs if he wants to play in PPAs. PPA wants the best product, and Riley's a big name.
Like, PPA is not disallowing anybody.
Yeah, but if he has to pay his own entry fees?
They're not disallowing anybody from playing. Anybody can still play a PPA. But the thing is, financially, it probably, if you're looking at it only financially, it would never make sense for anybody outside of the Nuco to play a PPA event or an MLP event, just financially, right? Because if Riley does stick with his old deal, not take the pay cut, he goes to play a PPA, pays his own entry fees. The prize money at PPA has been drastically reduced because now we're all salary based.
Right.
So let's say Riley makes $1,000. So like, I played that Desert Ridge tournament, JW Marriott. I got to the quarterfinals with Coop and bronze with Eric, and I made $950. Right. So the prize money has been cut dramatically. Somebody, let's say it's Riley. Riley makes $950. He pays his 400 entry fee. He's down to $550. And then he then has to remit 80% of that back to MLP.
Right.
What he made, like, what? What is that? Like $150 before expenses?
Well, plus travel, before expenses. Right? He's going to lose his travel. He's gonna, yeah.
So his gross income would have been that, would have been like $160.
Right.
So financially, there's 0 cents. That's where this comes down to. If you are a player who is outside of Nuco, you would only play PPA or MLP for the visuals, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now the question comes in, does a sponsor come in and foot his travel, or does a sponsor pay his entry fees because they want to see him? But I'll tell you guys right now, I know that Riley has already told his partners for Austin, they've already found new people to play with. So at least in the near future, until they figure this out, he's not playing PPAs.
Right. I'd have to imagine they figure something out. I think they want Riley. But then again, you know,
I think they do too. I think they want all these players. And I think at some point, I think it's all new right now. And so I think at some point they'll figure out a solution. Mm-hmm.
Because, you still have the Johnson 5, right? JW, Dylan, fresh off of their win over in Mesa, right? You can't have the best team.
Yeah.
Argue like one of the best teams. I'd put him number 2 in the power rankings by a wide margin. You can't have him not competing, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's what makes it tough. Like, how do you – I mean, you got to – like, if your whole – if the PPA's whole argument during the tour wars, was the best, we still have the best players. We still have the top of the top, which was Ben and Annalie, right? Well, now if you don't have the Johnsons, you don't have Dylan, you don't have Riley, you know, you have a diluted product, right? The whole point of the merger was to make sure that all these players stay together. So I think they have to figure that out. There's got to be some solution.
Yeah.
But the Johnson 5 will be interesting too, because that's a whole different situation.
So the Johnson 5 right now are, they just don't have a contract really anywhere. Yeah. They didn't end up signing an actual MLP contract, if, as I understand. And they're certainly not with PPA. They're in basically no man's land, still trying to negotiate so they their signed own sort of deal with Yuko.
Yeah, so what they actually signed was just a term sheet. They did have a contract, but for whatever reason, they didn't sign it. I don't know if it's an agent was working on things, but they didn't actually sign the contract. And so now, yeah, they're just a no man's land. They really are truly like free agents. And so they can go play whatever they want. So
they can play APP, MLP, PPA.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this Pickleball World Series that was recently announced. It won't start till January 2025, but it's like a global pickleball tournament with six stops. The goal is to have 500 to a million in prize money for each event. They want to get that up to 1.5 or more million per each event. The team event is like a lot of that prize money is allocated to the team event. So if Johnson 5, Riley, they go play these. The winning team per event, per six events, gets $75,000. So, you know, if you go there and you win all those tournaments, you know, you could start to stack that with APP winnings, and then you play select few PPAs, select, and then maybe you do MLP. But like, there's ways to monetize being a pro, even if you don't have one of these contracts.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I think in the end, those cooler heads will prevail, because you want Riley, you want J-Dub, you want Dylan, you want Georgia, Tardio's stock sky high, right? You want those guys locked in to PPA and MLP.
Right.
You know, you don't want them free. I mean, I talked to an owner that said one thing that he that pisses him off the most is that how free they're letting some of these players go play APPs. Mm-hmm. If he had his choice, he would absolutely bury APP, you know, and not have that as an option. And because with that being an option, I think that that does take away some of the bargaining power.
Yeah.
So,
well, one thing in talking to owners lately, it's like the tone of the conversation has changed to where there is true confidence now that the merger is settled, it's done, they're moving forward. Yeah. Whereas previously it'd be like, yeah, you know, we're moving in the right direction, but you never know.
Yeah.
And this time around, it feels like, okay, we signed.
Yeah.
This is how things are going to move in the future. This is one joint entity and they're working together. There's no more tour wars.
Yeah. And they're like, let's get back to pickle. Let's get back to this is the fun part, right? Like, this is where it's fun. The draft. I mean, we hung out at the draft, right? The draft is fun. Like, that stuff makes it fun. Like, the mock drafts, the predictions, and then the actual MLP play is like, let's get back to that.
Right.
Speaking of which, once we've got a draft figured out, we got to do a podcaster mock draft, right? You and me,
yes.
Jimmy and Tyler, Graham and Travis. Whomever else,
yes.
Like that'd be obviously Maddie Pickles gets a team best podcast in pickleball.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
I think we got to make that happen.
But he gets 2 seconds per selection. Because,
yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Do you know?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Everybody gets a team, and we do like a mock podcaster draft.
Do you know? Do you have any idea when the draft is happening? I had heard rumored of March 30th.
So North Carolina is what I heard. I heard that it makes sense to do it during North Carolina because there may or may not be Tom Dundon may or may not own an arena.
Right.
That's available that date for where the Carolina Hurricanes play. And they might want to do like a full live draft at that arena.
Right.
So that's what I was told. And then they better
tarp off the upper rows of that.
Yeah. Pull the curtains down. And then I was told that the target date for the first event, and this is all obviously super fluid because everything changes, but some owners were thinking about doing it in Miami because that's the same weekend as F1 and it could be a huge kickoff. But it looks like Atlanta is probably more likely.
So what is this Miami thing? Like, there's an APP Miami. There's a small, like, MLB All-Stars sort of thing in Miami.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's kind of separate. That's just for, like, the Miami Open is going to have pickleball players come in and
Miami and play Open just ATP. ATP yeah, event, right?
ATP, yeah.
And then there's racket.
So they're having pickleball players come in. James Blake is involved with it, and so, yeah, he's going to have them come in and just do, like, I don't know if they're playing an actual tournament or just exhibitions, but there's a bunch of MLP players that will be there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that they're going to mix pickleball and tennis.
Well, there's also Racket X that weekend leading into the week, which is like a racket sports conference, and a bunch of pickleball, like, will be there. A bunch of pickleball brands will be there. So a bunch of pickleball players will be there, and fans that can easily go to the stadium and actually watch.
Yeah. So, and then,
or wherever it is,
May 6th or 7th is when the Miami event was scheduled to happen for MLP, and it's a standalone event with no PPA.
Yeah. So I've got on my calendar MLP regular season in Miami, May 2nd through the 5th.
Okay. Yeah. So I know that they talked about maybe having that as the kickoff, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I think there's a lot. The question is, do they go back to the drawing board? Do they stick with this 12 Challenger, 12 Premier, the people that pledge their money? Do they all just pay their money and we move forward? Do they still draft where everybody gets the $1 million hypothetical or $500,000, you know, budget? How are they going to do it? Or do they just white paper the entire thing and start over?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think now at this point, MLP was sort of just hypothesizing these things all on their own, right? Now we have to go back to the drawing board with the PPA side on that as well. And speaking of which, do we have a number of events that the PPA players are going to be required to play at MLP? Has that been hashed out?
So the contracts do state 6, but there's a lot of talk about where PPA said that they'd be willing to switch out a PPA event for an MLP event.
There's ways to incentivize it.
Yeah, exactly. And that would put them at 7. And then the other two events, one's a midseason tournament and one's a playoff. And they feel like PPA players would be willing to play those because there's actual prize money involved. And then that would put you at your 9.
If the PPA willingly swaps a PPA event for an MLP event, then we will know for sure that they're finally 100%. Aligned working together, right?
That's funny because that was my exact words. Like, if that actually happens, because you know the mid-season tournament was supposed to be Beer City.
Oh, is it not anymore?
Mm. Well, I think it is, but it's probably not going to be mid-season because it might be the beginning of the season.
Right.
Because that's in July, right? I mean, that's the question, is how many events do we have? Is it another wasted year for MLP? How many events do they fit in? Also, does it make sense? The other thing is, does it make sense to have standalone MLP events, or do you piggyback them all off of PPAs?
Right. Well, I think in the near term, it's going to be piggyback. Just from a cost standpoint, it makes sense.
Yeah. I do know that they're developing software right now where MLP will host amateur events, and you can actually, like, go in and say it's just Thomas by himself and he couldn't find 3 people to play with. He can just put his name in and he'll get paired with 3 other people to play team events before MLPs. So they do want to host amateur events. Or if you have a team of 4, then you can put in your own team of 4.
I've never played a team event amateur. I bet that'd be so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. And so to do amateur team events and have that with MLP, I think is going to be pretty sick.
Yeah.
The pickle box.
The pickleball box.
The
pickleball
box. Yeah. Just kidding. It's the pickleball box.
The pickleball box.
It is a subscription box.
Gear, accessories, apparel.
And it comes straight to my door with all the hottest pickleball gear in here.
It's so hot, I can barely.
Over $250 of value in each box, and you only pay $99 for each one. Go to thedink.shop. Undoubtedly, the best gift for any pickleballer, or if you're like me. For anybody who listens to this, you're obsessed with pickleball, this is honestly like the perfect thing for you. All right, so for you as a GM, okay, you and Richie and whoever else is in your circle for the Black Bears, your attention now shifts toward, okay, we're actually going to have a draft. Let's start thinking about how we're going to do this thing. What is, like, being a GM? Like, what do those conversations look like? How often are you meeting? Is it?
Yeah. So, I mean, Richie and I talk every day. He watches a lot of pickleball. I think that Richie is one of the owners that's probably the most invested in pickleball. So he watches a lot of pickleball. We hosted a combine. We actually did this back in January before even we knew that there was going to even be a season or a merger. We flew in about 40 players. We had a company called Pickleball Vision come in, and they like do AI software. So they tracked every shot, and so we recorded the matches. We scouted them. We had players from all over come in, and there, but for us right now, we're challenger, right? And so these were all challenger level players. We did bring in like Tyra Black came in and Vivian Glosman, who she actually might end up challenger. But, that's one thing we do. We actually watch a lot of film, oddly enough. When we were looking at Rachel Rohrabacher, because we actually wanted her for challenger. We didn't think, you guys right. know, mm-hmm. you were there. We didn't think that she was going premier. We couldn't find any film of her other than a match where she played with Rob Davidson, and he had filmed it on his GoPro. Yeah. And that was like the only footage that you could find. And we would watch that to try and see what, and even in that, you could tell that she could,
you know, the Rob Davidson.
So, no, I don't know what that is.
He calls the score. And then every time before he calls the score, he goes like this.
Yeah.
He's got the ball in his hand, and he's like, lets the people know, hey, I'm about to serve, basically by like putting his hand up. Yeah. Rob Davidson, he's a goat. He's like one of the nicest guys, but he has not played very much pro over the last couple of years. So that just dates that video with Rachel Rohrabacher.
Yeah, with Rohrabacher. Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of fallen off for sure. Super nice guy.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
He used to be a legend. So, we do a lot of that. We have a draft board that I kind of come up with mine. Richie comes up with his, and then we kind of compare. So, but it'll be interesting because if they end up doing one league, because that's the goal, right? And is every year four teams move up. And so eventually, so what will happen is it goes 12, 16, but that means your last year in Challenger, if you don't move up, I mean, it's just four teams are left in Challenger.
Right. That never made any next sense to me.
So but nobody moves down.
Right. But nobody moves down because the ultimate goal is it doesn't make sense. But they think that in 3 years the talent gap won't be fair. So large between Challenger and Premier. And so that's the goal, because the argument was nobody wanted Ben Johns playing with the 96th player in the world.
They should just keep adding more Challenger teams. You bring four up.
But I think at that point, you just expand, right? Then you add more teams. I understand and there's the gonna logic. Be more players.
I do understand the logic. Like, I think that eventually Premier should be able to support 32 players. It probably can't, or 32 teams. It probably can't right now.
Yeah.
Right. But I do really like the idea of promotion and relegation. And so maybe there's 30 Premier teams, but also 30 Challenger teams, right?
Yeah.
Four exactly. move up every time.
Yeah. There's no incentive right now.
Eight more Challenger. The Challenger level players are the ones that's going to grow the fastest too. It's going to take a longer time to get into Premier. You could support probably 30 Challenger teams right now. Right.
Yeah, and the other thing though is if you're signing players to a 3-year deal, right? And so you're drafting. So this is another draft strategy you got to think about. And so you draft your challenger players. Are you just drafting? And you say you win and you move up, you keep that same team. So you're just drafting to get your ass kicked in Premier the next year.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So the way that things are supposed to be, the way that things were theorized previously was that you would now be drafting your team for basically forever, and then you would go to a normal free agency. So in the next draft, whenever that happens, let's say Tyler gets picked, he is basically on a 3-year deal with whatever team he has, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they could, if he does poorly, like theoretically drop him and do a free agent pool. Correct. And so like when you really have to price in how much these players are growing, right?
yeah, potential is huge, right? Like, I mean, so, I mean, not to put like any names out there, but say, I mean, do you take a, you know, an Irina Tereshenko and you think, okay, is this as good as Irina is going to be? Is Irina, you know what I'm saying? Or do you take someone like a, you know, Vivian Glossman, that's probably a poor example, but someone like a Vivian Glossman and say, okay, in three years or 18 months or 2 years, how much better is Vivian going to be? You may not take her right now over Irina, but would you take her in 18 months over Irina?
No, for sure. It adds a whole lot more depth to all of this, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And so that, I mean, there's a kind of, and then, yeah, who's on the downside of their career? And then, you know, there's a lot of interesting questions. I think on the challenger level, it's even more, you know, the potential of players is even, you know, more important, right? Like a Jack Monroe or, you know, like, do you try and swing for the fences on someone like that? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But I think personally that they should just get rid of it now. You can add teams and add them to Challenger, but I say you go full 96 right now.
96 players.
96 players have every team in Premier.
Damn.
I mean,
because you're just changing when it's basically just a shift in when there's not going to be fully optimized teams. Meaning, like, right now, if you have Challenger versus Premier, and these teams stay the same for 3 years, on a team that might have, let's say, Ben and Irina, and Jack Monroe, and Vivian Glossman, right? So Vivian Glossman is maybe not strong enough to be a Premier player, but by the end of that, she'll be very good. Irina might be there, but falling off by 3 years within 3 years.
Yeah.
Same with Jack getting better. So right now, if you only have Challenger and Premier, if you have Challenger and Premier, you have the best product right now, but maybe not 3 years from now. Is there sort of like a protection for that? That would be like, I guess the ability to drop somebody, right? Like you've got Matt Wright on your team and he turns like 75 or whatever he is and you decide you don't want him anymore.
Well, yeah. I look at it like this too. Like, so Ben, if you take Ben first overall, right? Ben's going to go first overall. I don't think that's a question. So if Ben goes first and you spend all your money, because the way they're doing it now is you bid, right? You can bid 500,000. Is Ben Johns
500,000 to select the to select your draft position? You don't select a player; you select a draft position.
Yeah, but don't you have like 500,000 of credit to bid, and then you can bid above and beyond that out of your own pocket? Is there a cap to how much you can bid beyond the initial 500,000?
I think it's another 500.
It's just 500. You're capped.
Okay, so a million total.
Okay,
got it.
You have basically 500,000 Monopoly money and then 500,000 real money.
Of your real money that can come out of your pocket.
Yeah.
So say there's a million. So and you bid. You don't bid on players. You bid on selections. So if you bid for the number one spot, right? So say you take your full 500,000 and you go, and you have to leave. I think it's like $3,000 for your next pick. So say you bid the full amount and you go take Ben. Now you know for sure that you're going to have Ben, and then you're going to have 46, 47, and 48 because you're out of money, right? Can Ben go and win with, I think we saw it. I mean, maybe Jesse's higher, but he won with Jesse Lacy and Eric Lang. So can Ben go win with Eric Lang, Warren Stratman, and Vivian Glossman?
And this is the final draft, right? Like once this draft happens, there's no more future drafts. It's
for now, So now you're stuck for 3 years.
Go get Ben and lock him in now, right?
Well, this is the final draft, but what I don't understand is how, okay, let's say somebody from China just is a complete stud. How are new people added to the fold? So I think there would have to be another draft where Ben and, you know, Anna Lee and Riley and all these people are off the board. A draft of people who are,
isn't that like unsigned? The shuffle draft?
Well, so what they're gonna, so they may do like a shuffle draft or like a waiver wire.
Yeah.
And what happens is everybody will get waiver priority. And you can actually trade, it's random, but you actually trade your waiver priority. So for example, if you're number one in waiver priority, but you don't really want to pick anybody, or the person you want to select is like 8 or 9, you know that they'll fall to 8 or 9. You can actually trade that to somebody else. So they're trying to do cool things like that. But right now we're told that you cannot draft anybody that is not signed.
Interesting.
So like Augie, you couldn't draft Augie right now.
Wow, that's wild.
What do you think the incentive is for that? Yeah. Why? Because they just want to lock these players down, and this is a
because they're paying. I think because they're paying the salaries anyways. So to be financially responsible, they don't want undrafted players still getting paid.
Yeah,
but for me, I look at it like this: like if Ben is playing with, if you have all 96 players and all teams in Premier, okay. Right. And Ben ends up playing with whoever who, you know, and you have them mixed up, and like Jack Monroe's playing, and, you know, Riley Bonert gets brought up. Isn't that better than having, you know, 12 premier teams? And then as you bring up 4 challenger teams next year, all 4 of those teams, chances are they're going to be the bottom 4 teams in premier. Right. Like, I mean, there's a really good chance that those 4 teams are just, you know, aren't going to be able to compete. That's why they're in challenger.
Well, that's why I think you need like other draft picks. I think anybody every year there should be a, hey, these are the people. So the people who are eligible for MLP should be locked every single year. And then at the next year, okay, this person is really good. There's a free agency of, or a draft of any player who's not currently eligible for MLP. And that way you can trade around basically draft picks the way that the NBA does.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think they've got to figure that out. Or maybe you go expanded rosters to 6, and you can protect every year, you can protect 4, and then 2 people fall off and you redraft 2 slots.
Because I think the thing that we would need to be very careful about would be the team getting called up from challenger then just getting pummeled the next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Parks likes to talk about this because he's got his Tim Parks ego, but how realistically, and I love Tim, he's my guy, but realistically, how would the Hard Eights have done in Premier? They lose to the Bouncers.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think they lose to the Bouncers. And nobody loses to the Bouncers.
All right. Hey, hold on. Pandas versus Bouncers. Pandas season 1 with Matt versus Bouncers season 2. Who you taking?
I think I take the Pandas.
Fuck yeah, baby. That's a win. That's our first win of the year. We're taking that.
I think I take the Pandas.
I think we were a less bad team than the Bouncers.
Yeah, I think you were. The Bouncers weren't even talking at the end of the season. They were so like...
Hey, Matt Wright quit MLP completely, so...
Yeah, that's true. He never came back. That's true. But they were so fractured that Simone and Paris broke up their partnership for APP because of it.
Damn.
I mean, that's crazy.
All right.
I'm surprised Hunter and Paris' relationship survived.
Well, you want to elaborate on that? Or I think we need what would be fun? A full year power ranking of MLP teams, right? Like, obviously, there'd be premier teams, like, there'd be the Chicago Slice with Ben and
So I actually talked about doing how they should have at the end of this year had not everything been complete.
The best 4 teams.
How they should have had the Squeeze play the Pioneers, right? Have DC play the Mad Drops from season 1, sick. You know? Yeah, have those top teams. But because or you could have done the Slice. Like, it just kind of depends on, you know, but you take those top teams and you do like a super tournament. I think that would have been pretty sick to watch.
Yeah.
Even like bring the Fives. That Fives team was pretty good with Leia and Hayden and James. And
they never won one. They were irrelevant.
They didn't, but they could be like the wild card. I just think that you could get those, even the top 4, and just do like a tournament would be pretty sick. I think it would probably have to be the Pioneers. I still think it'd be the Pioneers and the Mad Drops versus the Slice and DC. Those are my top 4. The Squeeze. Even though the Slice won, I still think the Squeeze and DC were the 2 best teams consistently. Who wins that, Zane?
Obviously the squeeze.
So Ben, Tyler, Megan, and Etta. And then you have Catherine, Julian, Thomas.
That entire thing is such a toss-up. That's why we play the game.
Yeah, that would be fun. But that would be like... Tell me that wouldn't bring out fans.
That would be an unbelievable.
As long as you could like really make it seem as though it matters and it counts, and this is really like the true championship versus an exhibition.
Yeah, you know? For sure. There's got to be real money. Also, like, let's get real money.
That could have just been the 2023 championship. No season one, season two bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to do it? Who's got the money for that?
Jimmy, you just signed a Vulcan bags contract. Why don't you put some of that money towards it? And then
Now there's none, but these bags they look pretty sick. Like, oh, yeah, they're not bad.
There we go. You heard it here first. They're not bad.
They're not bad. I think
we'll send that clip to Vulcan for you.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's cut that and the one about the balls.
All right. Well, Tommy, what else do we have? Any other unanswered questions from our merger specialist, Jimmy?
No, I only had questions about like your place within the landscape. Like, you know, you've created a lot of relationships where a lot of pros will just hit you up and like vent and you get a ton of information. But then there's the flip side, right? Where you've got some pros who are like, Jimmy needs to be canceled. So what are some of those? Like, I know you told a story of like walking by Tyson McGuffin at, in Dallas, right? The whole reason you started the pod is because of like a beef with Jilly B, which eventually became a beef with you and Jilly B. But like, what are some of those relationships that you have that are, you know, not on the best of terms?
Yeah, I think that there's people out there that, you know, because I am pretty honest, right? And I, you know, I think if somebody has a rough tournament, we're going to talk about them having a rough tournament. We're going to, you know, not sugarcoat a lot of things. And so I think that there's a lot of players that take offense to that. And I don't think anything I ever try to say is malicious. You know, I just try to keep it real. But yeah, I think it's offended. I mean, Tyson, we joked. The thing with Tyson all started because somebody sent me a picture of him in the Salt Lake airport, okay? And his wife was carrying.
So this is just some random person who happened to be in the airport.
So this is the other thing Jimmy is I get insider. Random messages. Yeah. And the worst is that people have found my phone number. And so I'll get texts from random. Yeah. And so someone sent me a picture and he was walking through the Salt Lake airport and he had nothing in his hands. And his wife had like her big Gucci bag and like carrying. And he's just like walking. And I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that, you know, it was nothing that like no knock on him, no, like in terms of like nothing mean spirit. I just thought that was funny. And then at TOC, he finishes when he played with Ignatowicz. Ignatowicz. And he gets up, he goes to walk out, and, you know, his Stallion Performance guy picks up three huge Selkirk bags. Tyson walks out with nothing in his hands. And I just thought that was funny. It was funny. We kind of made fun of it a little bit. He got pissed, obviously, went at Tyler in that tournament. He takes lots of shots at us now. But I was told, I haven't watched his new show, Meet the MacGuffins. I've yet to watch it, but
is
I
that
was
different
told
than the podcast?
Every time that
Is that different what? Than their podcast?
Yeah, I guess they have a reality show
is
now.
Is it on YouTube?
That just follows him around. I don't know. I've never seen it. Someone told me about it. But they told me that he goes to the airport multiple times and he always carries the bags. And he almost like hitches him up on his back, like almost just to make a point. Right. So that's funny to me that he like plays it up. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, and he did that to me in Dallas. Like he walked by me and he like had his bag and Megan didn't have anything. And he like, you know, so like I said, it's not, but there's some other players that don't like me. I mean, it is what it is.
Do you ever talk to like Ben and Colin? Yeah. Do you ever talk to Anna Lee and Lee?
Yeah. So I think Anna Lee is the one of the ones that I'll probably never have a relationship with just because, you know, we mentioned some of the stuff with Alshon early on. So I don't think that we'll ever.
Wait, in fact, Tyler used to have a pretty good. Was that Tyler who mentioned that?
Well, that was me.
Oh, but, okay. Thanks for clarifying.
But Tyler used to have a good relationship with them and he said that that's kind of deteriorated, which I think kind of bums him out a little bit because he felt like he had a pretty good relationship with them. But Ben, yeah, Ben came on the pod. Ben was awesome.
Oh, did he really? I didn't know that.
You know, Ben, yeah. So Ben came on. We talked with Ben. He, you know, it's great. He, you know, you guys know Ben. He's very honest. He's got nothing. I said, is there anything you want to cut? And he's like, I've got nothing to, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so I think I have a good relationship. I see Ben at tournaments. We say hi to each other. I've never talked to Colin. You guys obviously he's a frequent guest for you.
No, yeah, I'm just kidding. You know, like Colin. Colin's fun to chat with.
I can go talk to the wall. If I get bored and want to talk to Colin, I'll go talk to the wall and we'll call it good. So, yeah, you know. But everybody else, yeah, I mean, and I've become good friends with a lot of people. I mean, even Julian, dude, I go at Julian hard. I go at him hard, and whenever I see him, we're fine.
Yeah, I feel like Julian just does not care. You can say whatever you want about the guy, and he's just like, he's in his own world, which, like, you know, he dishes it out, he takes it. Like, you know what? That's...
Yeah, I do live in a penthouse, and I do drive a Mercedes, and so what? And I do have a $5,000 pickleball bag, and he's like, and I don't care.
Whoa, I am who I am. $5,000 pickleball bag?
Yeah, dude, his pickleball bag is a designer freaking duffel bag.
Oh, is that like white and blue one?
Yes, that's $5,000.
Do they? Can you go like buy that, or was it custom made for him? It's just one of one.
Yeah, no, he bought it. It's like a I don't even remember what brand. No, he.
How
bought
do we know it's $5,000?
Because we looked it up. I saw it. I asked him, and then I looked it up.
All right, we might need to figure out what that is. Get an affiliate relationship going with the brand. Though I don't know how many of our listeners are going to shell out $5,000 for that.
Julian Arnold uses a designer handbag for his paddles.
I love it.
There we go. I have actually noticed this bag recently. I didn't really think anything of it.
You knew that it was blue and white.
Yeah, no,
you
knew it was blue and white. I was like, oh, that bag? I always thought it was kind of weird. It doesn't look like a pickleball bag.
Yeah. No, it's like a $5,000
It also doesn't look
bag.
Like it should cost $5,000. It looks like something like a slightly better version of something that you pick up when you're just scrambling for a bag that you need.
Yeah, right? Got to hurry to the airport, grab the first thing I see.
I'm trying to find this thing.
So
we haven't really given you much to work with.
I'm just seeing if there's a blue and white bag on his Instagram.
There we go.
Oh yeah, there you go. That might be good.
I don't see it.
Yeah, ask him about it.
Well, speaking of,
doesn't he live? He lives in Austin,
yeah, he does.
Right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. He's actually playing some tournaments with Tyler coming up.
Really?
So he must not hate us too bad. He did tell me that if Tyler. Because Tyler's been wearing that headband lately. I don't know if you guys have seen that thing. It's horrible. And Julian said that he will not play with Tyler if he wears that headband.
And what's Tyler's response to this?
I think he's going to wear it because Tyler thinks it looks good.
There we go.
It's like one of those stringy ones that like girls wear. Like,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a pass for me. Doesn't look great. Some people can pull that look off. But... not Tyler. Some people can pull off the $5,000 handbag, not Julian. So they're made for each other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was the other thing. So I had somebody send me a picture of Julian driving through Austin.
Wait, hold on. I thought that was a joke. That's actually his car
serious.
With the license
that
plate.
Yeah, someone said that.
He does have that.
I'm starting to like Julian more and more.
Yeah. They said that he lives in their apartment complex, and they sent it
I
to
want
me.
To go back to the what you just said about I had somebody from Austin take pictures of Julian. What? Like, you calling in your paparazzi buddies or what?
You got people in the airport, everywhere. People around Austin.
Like, one of my guys.
People are everywhere. Nobody's safe. Nobody is safe.
Well, give me a heads up if you're going to take some pictures of me from your guys in Austin.
Well, I mean, it's coming. Oh, boy. It's coming, Zane. You're next. So it's been, but like Thomas, like you said, I think that, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. There's times that there's times that I'll see Connor Pardo at an event and he will not say a word to me. Like, he just thinks that, like, there was a lady at the PPA that hated me. Like, she would, I guess she would literally clip every single comment I ever made about the PPA and send it out and tell them that, like, I need to be canceled.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and then there's other times that, like, I'll see MLP guys, like, you know, and I technically work for an MLP team, and they'll be pissed. Like, I was actually told that I can't be on any MLP calls until I have a talk with somebody.
Yeah, you're, like, technically media. I mean, we were – because I think I was on draft calls, and then eventually it was said that I can't be on draft calls because I'm technically media. I would assume there's the same protest for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they even sent out like a internal memo, and I probably shouldn't say this, but it basically talked about breaking stuff before they were able to get it out.
Right. Like they,
And I'm like, look, you guys, like I'm bringing publicity to you guys. This is a good thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean,
they don't always see that.
I think there are definitely people in the organization, and Connor would say this is like, it's good that you're talking about us, right? As long as you're not saying something insanely malicious, like there's going to be criticism. It's far better to have people reporting on this stuff, talking about it, caring about it, than worrying about every little negative thing that, that gets said. But then there's people in the organization who are like super protective of the brand and are much more sensitive and don't look at it from the big picture lens.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was, you know, that, lady that went on and commentated with Jim Kloss, right? I mean, she went all the crazy stuff she said, but in the end, like I actually said this to Connor. I said, dude, and you know, he's never going to admit this, and I don't blame him. He shouldn't. But I said, hey, this is actually ends up kind of being a good thing for you. You guys have tons of buzz. Everybody's talking about it, right? Like everyone's talking about, you know, obviously they're watching. And I said, so it's kind of like not the worst publicity in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, he never responded, but I know where his heart was at. He,
I felt bad for that lady. I feel like she – I could see people that I know that are close to me who, you know, if you put them on a mic, they're going to try and say things that are funny or smart, and they're not meant to be on a mic in a public setting. And I feel like she ended up on that stream and – someone needed to pull the plug.
It was like an open mic and she just kind of bombed.
Yeah.
So we have a podcast coming out this week with Niche, and she talks about it because, you know, and just talks about everything that like they're required to do and kind of like what happened with this lady. But also she has a funny story. Someone came after her, Niche, thinking that they were that lady. Oh, really? She was that lady. Yeah. And like tried to get up in the booth and was like yelling and
really.
So yeah, she pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
But like you said, some of us don't have a filter. You get them on a mic. The times that I've commentated, Dave Fleming has told me that I have two rules. Don't talk during the point and don't swear.
Yeah.
If those were her only two rules, she kind of followed them. Well, she did talk during the point, but.
Well, I was thoroughly entertained. I think there needs to be a manning cast. Like somebody, Jimmy, I think you and I got to start our own not safe for work manning cast of the PPA. Like, I mean, that sounds like a win. Like the cancel, the cancel
unfiltered,
cast.
Uncensored.
That's what it should be called. The cancel pickleball cast. Cancel cast.
Yes. Yeah. Unfiltered, uncensored. Yeah. We should do match analysis and just break down really how you truly feel about that AJ Kohler speed up from 2 inches off the ground.
How unfiltered are we going to get?
Yeah.
That's the only question.
Put it behind a, like a paywall on Patreon or something and just go balls to the wall. People will pay for that.
No, for sure. One time we were jokingly said, true story, we jokingly said, because we had, right before Tour War, we had Connor Pardo come on our podcast. And then literally like the next day, was when all that Tour Wars stuff broke out. And on our podcast, Connor was like, schedule's coming out for MLP soon and all this stuff. And then immediately he was like, don't release any of that. And we've had people offer us like legit money just to have a watch.
Now that it's all behind us, I wonder if he'd be okay with you releasing it. I would love to go back and watch
like
that.
He's very complimentary of MLP, but it's just funny the stuff that he says, like, you know, the schedule's coming out Friday and all this stuff. And like, and then like 2 days later,
release the tapes.
Yeah.
Release the tapes.
Yeah.
So maybe do a little pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Snippets of it.
Yeah. All right. I only had one other thing. I want to know if you knew anything about this because Connor Pardo had tweeted it and then subsequently deleted it. But he was teasing something called the Game Maker, which could be that software you were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know for sure what that is. I think that that is some is that software that they've talked about creating, like you can create your own tournaments and your own brackets and things like that. But then I do think part of it is going to be this team software that they're trying to create.
Right.
I think that PPA's ultimate or NewCo now, their ultimate goal is to control, not control everything, but control everything. Yeah. Where they are, have their hands in everything, right? They're running this their own software. They're running their own brackets. They've got Pickleball Central, you know, amateur. They have their own amateur tournaments. Like they have their own governing body. I think that's where they're headed.
Yeah,
they're gonna have their own, you know, and so everything is gonna be all encompassing under that kind of umbrella. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me that anything that somebody is kind of able to come up with, they try to duplicate or
improve. Yeah, the only like equivalency that I can think of is like Spikeball, where Spikeball is the brand and the sport does the equipment, does the tournaments, right? Like owns all of it.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned, I don't even know what Spikeball is actually called, but somebody said it to me the other day and they're like, have you ever played that? I was like, Round I don't know what net. That is. Round net. That's right. And then they're like, yeah, it's Spikeball. And I was like, oh, why don't you just call it Spikeball? And they're like, well, that's the brand.
Right. Because they try. Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Spikeball just came out with pickleball software, and they released a product that's basically just a round net with paddles. So that's guy, right. Spikeball Chris, who like founded it, is super into pickleball. So,
interesting.
I don't know.
Have you seen the those dink game, the basically like cornhole with pickleball?
Yeah,
paddles,
I mean, though? You should just take any game like that.
Yeah.
And just create your own and then add wooden pickleball paddles and call it a product. That's what people are doing.
I think
there's a bunch of variations of it. Then there's like the four square pickleball net thing that came out, that Cross Net did.
That's right.
There's this other, I think it's Pickleball Smash, where it's like
Pickleball Smash,
and a paddle and then like a.
I'm a racket sports junkie, but those are all kind of dumb, I think.
Yeah. And then,
especially like cornhole.
Zane, have you ever played Zane? Zane, you've played TOC, right?
Once, last year.
Rest in peace. So at TOC, there's actually a sewer cover in the middle of the grass. And these kids, they've been doing this for like 5 or 6 years. They went and they invented like sewer ball. And they would play off the sewer cover with their paddles and their balls. And they've been playing it for years and years over there, like in Brigham City. And one year, like I saw Irina would play with them, Callie. They started getting all these pros to play, and it's like, just take your paddle and you can invent anything off of it.
Yeah. We should go out onto a golf course and just play 18 holes with a pickleball.
Let's do it.
Paddles.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm bringing a gearbox for the driver, obviously.
Yeah, right.
That'd be interesting. You'd have different paddles for different for different like ranges and whatnot.
Yeah.
Then they have that soccer golf now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
soccer golf.
Oh, there's whole golf courses, and the hole is
That's
big enough for a soccer ball.
Yeah. Have you seen tech ball? Yeah. It's soccer ping pong.
Yeah. They had that at halftime of Major League Pickleball, one of the first ones in Austin.
So tech ball, there's actually a couple MLP owners that have.
Yeah, I remember that. I forgot who that was, but
I think Chaffetz, and some others. So.
That sport actually fills up stands pretty good in what I've seen.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Those people are so good at that sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of variations out there, but.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need the Dink branded version of all of these.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I kind of forgot we were on a podcast. I feel like we've just been talking about nothing for 10 minutes.
This is going to be our best reporting
podcast. Yeah, that's what happens. You're like, I don't even know what we talked about. It's like 50,000 views.
Yeah, we got through an eighth of our list?
Yeah, we had a bunch of other stuff, but I figured it was all going to revolve around like MLP and the merger and stuff. So, yeah. What else, Jimmy? Jimmy, give us some break some news. Give us something juicy.
Nah, he saves all the good stuff for his podcast.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
There's nothing like. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, worried about your place in pickleball? I mean, you were like the source.
Yeah,
of
I mean, I don't have a place.
All the insiders.
Yeah, there's nothing. I need some like drama. I need some scandal.
Well, one of your guys who goes and takes covert pictures of people for you, have them, you know. Assault somebody or something.
I don't know. They need to come good up idea. With some scandal. Yeah, we need something. Like, we need another Donna Porch Plant incident yeah. or something.
Oh, did you watch our Riley episode where he was...
Dude, it was great. I love that Zane was like, you have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, did that actually make it in? Was that how he started the episode with?
Yeah, and then we put it like on a social clip and he commented like, you guys love to stir stuff up. There were multiple times that episode where he was like, oh, I'm not going to say it. All right, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
I think the best was when he was like, I'm not going to talk about what paddle I'm signing with. He goes, well, let me tell you why I like Polestar.
Didn't really conceal that one all that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the worst. I mean, the thing is he'd already been playing with it. Even when he said he was like, when he teased it, you saw the QR code at the bottom. There's only one with the QR code on the handle.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was just funny. I actually liked that interview. Like, Riley was really candid.
I don't like how you used actually there, but all good.
Well, I mean, I was actually surprised because I think Riley can come off a little. You know.
He doesn't say a lot. All the players that seem stoic and quiet and maybe like a little RBF, you get them on a podcast, you actually talk to them, and they always end up being like the best guests. I think Colin's one of the best examples where he's sort of stoic. You don't get a lot out of him. He's just kind of complaining next to Ben on the court all the time. And then you get him on a pod, and everyone's like, that's the best episode ever. Like, Colin's the best. I could listen to him talk for forever.
Yeah, Colin, I mean – other thing is, how do you not, like, as a fan, not want to pick Colin's brain, right? Even Ben, when we had Ben on, Ben's sitting there eating salmon in the middle of the podcast. Yeah. Like, his hair's a mess. Right. I'm like, dude, did you just wake up? And he's like, oh, I just got out of just went and did one of those plunge things. And he's just, like, so real and honest. I think people really liked it.
Yeah, it's good to see that side. So, all right. Anything, Zane?
I got nothing. Thanks for chatting, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
Zane, you ready? You ready for the big day?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Which big day? Oh,
March 30th. Jimmy's going to come officiate my wedding.
I'll be there. I'm going to take some pictures and send them to Jimmy.
There we go.
I'm an ordained minister.
I believe it. It's giving.
Just kidding, I'm not. But
it's giving ordained minister. I think of Jimmy. I just think of a man of God.
Hey, you've been. You guys have been dating for how long?
Over 10 years. So it will.
Are you worried that this is going to ruin it? like making it official?
At this point, not really. I feel like we've been married for like 5 years at this point. So it's just putting a bow on top, I guess.
How many pickleball players do you think will be at the wedding?
There's not a ton.
How many people in the pickleball space?
In the pickleball space, maybe like 45, something like that, of like 175.
That's a lot.
probably less like, then.
Like there's some like Althoff is a guarantee.
Oh yeah,
right?
Althoff, take it to the bank. Althoff's got a speech to give, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Althoff's
got a speech to give. So good.
I assume that Coop is 100% going to be there.
Yeah, you guys just want to just guess or what?
I just want to know who your true
Sincola,
friends are.
Monroe.
Sincola, I don't think Jack is coming because we still have a lot of the players are. Plus,
I assume there will be alcohol, so Jack can't make it.
There will be alcohol. No children allowed, so no Wyatt.
I saw that on the thing.
Nobody who acts like children. So.
Hey, here's the question: what if the draft is that weekend?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Because North Carolina also, so some of those players will be playing in that event, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of people are very, very questionable.
Should we move the wedding?
You know what? Maybe I'll just if I get drafted, I'll just zoom in. How about that?
From the altar,
you can do it from the Hurricane. You can have your wedding at the Hurricane Stadium.
I have made too many deposits for that to be the case. I've paid too much money for this wedding for that to be the case.
Just ask Dundon to pay you back. I'm sure he's good for it.
Yeah, me and Tom are like this.
Well, congrats, Zane. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. It'll be I'm excited for it as well. So it'll be a good time.
Thomas, you gonna do a live pod?
Trying to figure out what kind of content we could create.
Go for it. Actually, you guys want to know the craziest thing? Yeah. So, we decided not to get a normal wedding videographer. Guess who we got? We got Chanel.
Who's that?
We got Chanel. You did? She's never done a wedding before. And we were like,
Who's Chanel?
Chanel's the person who does social media for... She started out with the Johnsons. Everybody.
Okay.
She does Johnsons. She does the Heartaches. She does like 3 or 4 MLP. She was doing it for all of MLP. She does a ton of players. Yeah, she's probably the biggest thing in social media for pickleball.
And she's like, I've never done a wedding before. And we're like, absolutely perfect. Because what she does is she just talks to people and she like coaxes interesting stories out of them. Right. And
she's so good.
And that's exactly what we wanted. So we got Chanel as our wedding videographer.
I like it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're stoked for that.
So. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Subscribe to our Patreon and you can watch the wedding live.
She's going to have like these slow-mo videos of like Zane walking down the aisle like she would with pickleball videos. It's going
to
be sick.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, she's going to crush it. So.
It's awesome.
Perfect.
All right, boys.
Sweet.
All right, Jimmy. Guys. Thanks for coming on.
Pickle Pod.
Okay. Pickle Pod. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Tyler has a